This is Saskag Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Tanner Wallace Scribner here, filling in for Ryan Young for Saskag Today for Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection and farm fresh water. Fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency is providing an update on the status of Saskatchewan's reservoirs. Patrick Boyle is a spokesperson for the agency.
We're in pretty good shape overall, with 33 of our 45 major reservoirs, nearly three quarters or near full or expected to fill. And then we have another six reservoirs between 70 and 90% full and still filling right now. So outside of that, we have another six that will likely not fill. And most of those are in the southwest part of Saskatchewan.
He says the snowstorm that hit over the Easter long weekend should help bring water levels up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some of that impact of that late March snowfall that we had, that you're seeing kind of response there. And as it starts to melt here and make its way into our reservoirs, and what we're starting to see is that certainly that helped us and we're in good shape. And a lot of our reservoirs, too, we took a pretty conservative plan for operating over the winter here. And the goal was to make sure we fill all of our reservoirs here at the end of the day so as to limit some of those outflows, but making sure that if we didn't get a lot of moisture in the landscape, we were able to capture what we did receive.
Boyle notes Lake Diefenbaker is Saskatchewan's largest reservoir and supplies over 60% of the province's water supply needs.
Lake Diefenbaker, we did take that pretty serious approach to the conservative operating plan, and we're about a meter higher than we were this time last year, and a meter and a half higher than 2 years ago as far as level wise. So we're in pretty good shape at Lake Diefenbaker overall here going forward. So we're just above really where our historical average would be. So we're looking to fill that reservoir earlier in the season this year.
He says more spring rain or snow will affect levels as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No one really likes to hear me say it, but heavy wet snow in April would be a benefit to the most of the province here in most areas that we wouldn't say no to. But really our eye turns from as the temperatures start to turn here to rainfall and how does that interact in the springtime here and what we may see and some of those operations you'd have to make to adjust for any of that heavy rainfall as it comes.
Over the winter, snowpack conditions range from below normal to well below normal. While runoff conditions can change during the late winter and spring, the WSA says it will continue to monitor moisture and forecasted weather patterns and adjust operating plans accordingly. That was Patrick Boyle from the Water Security Agency.
We're back with Saskag Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Saskag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Farmers insuring farmers, municipalhailinsurance.ca. Companies that haven't applied yet to Protein Industries Canada's Technology Leadership Project stream have another chance to do so. A third call for applications is being made, and Megan Gervais, the Chief Technology Officer who is running the stream, says they're looking for projects that can produce favorable outcomes in a variety of different areas.
And we're really looking across the agri-food value chain. So anything from development of germplasm with improved protein content, better processing efficiency or quality or sensory characteristics, and then using those new crop varieties in ingredient manufacturing. So extracting, the protein, the starch, the fiber, and whatever other constituents are in that crop out into ingredients. And then, of course, looking for applications where those ingredients would be used in food products, or in feed products, or in, co-product or bioproduct development as well.
He expects a good turnout during the latest call for expressions of interest.
It's been roughly 10 months since we closed the last call for projects in this stream, and sort of as soon as we close, we have people kind of back saying, so when will you open again, and are you ready for new project applications? And so we know that there are, a number of projects in the pipeline that have sort of been waiting for an opportunity to apply, so those ones will be coming in. And then we're always open to have conversations with folks we've not talked to in the past about potential project concepts as well. So we do expect to see a pretty good amount of activity coming out of this call, and by summertime, we'll have a good sense of what projects are moving forward, and we'll see them turn into projects through the fall and get them funded and off they'll go.
To start the application process, industry parties need to visit proteinindustriescanada.ca/technology and fill out the form at the bottom of the page. If the project meets the initial eligibility criteria, Gervais says a member of the Protein Industries Canada project team will reach out to set up a preliminary meeting.
And what we would be looking for there is just a quick conversation with folks to give them an overview of the program and the expectations of applications. Our program is driven through collaboration, and so we require that at least three companies collaborate in development of a project. So there are often conversations and questions from potential applicants about what that looks like and how that works. And so what we find is that we have an initial conversation with folks. It takes about 20 minutes or half an hour to sort of walk them through what the program looks like, and that will really set them up for success in terms of drafting an expression of interest to us. And, you know, giving you a contact within our organization as well who can answer any questions as you work through the development of your application.
An application must include the use of high-protein dryland crops such as lentils, peas, canola, fava, oats, or soy. Up to $40 million is available to eligible projects, and those approved may get up to 45% of their project costs reimbursed. The deadline to apply is May 22nd.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Now today's Ag Review with Dud Falconer of GX94 for Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Starting in May, prairie farmers will have access to an up-to-the-day Fusarium head blight forecasting tool for winter and spring wheat, durum, and barley. The new forecasting tool is based on over 5 years of research and field-level proof-of-concept work supported by Alberta Grains, Sask Wheat, Sask Barley, the Manitoba Crop Alliance, the University of Manitoba, and the three prairie province governments. It also draws data from multiple weather stations across the prairies, but there's a gap in some areas of Saskatchewan that organizers are hoping to fill ahead of May 1st, when data begins to be collected. Paul Bullock, senior scholar with the University of Manitoba's Department of Soil Science, says that Saskatchewan farmers in specific areas may be eligible for a free METOS weather station if they're willing to host the station and share the data, and are located in one of the areas where data coverage is lacking. Bird flu has infected a dairy herd in Ohio for the first time and was detected in additional herds in Kansas and New Mexico, according to the U.S. government, expanding an outbreak in cows that has raised concerns about possible risks to humans. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, has confirmed infections in herds across six states since it first reported cases in Texas and Kansas on March 25th. The infected dairy farm in Ohio received cows on March 8th from a Texas dairy, which later confirmed a detection of bird flu. The USDA has said transmission of the disease between cows cannot be ruled out. The initial cases in Texas and Kansas appear to have been introduced by wild birds, and the strain of the virus in subsequent cases in New Mexico, Michigan, and Idaho was very similar, according to the USDA. World food prices rebounded in March from a three-year low, boosted by increases in vegetable oils, meat, and dairy products. The Food and Agriculture Organizations, or FAO Index, which tracks the most globally traded food commodities, averaged 118.3 points in March, up from a revised 117 points the previous month. The February reading was the lowest for the index since February of 2021 and marked a seventh consecutive monthly decline. International food prices have fallen sharply from a record peak in March of 2022 at the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of fellow crop exporter Ukraine. In March, the agency's vegetable oil price index led gains, jumping 8% month-on-month, with all major oils registering increases. The dairy index gained 2.9% for a sixth straight monthly rise, driven by cheese and butter prices. While the FAO's meat index added 1.7%, reflecting higher poultry, pig, and beef prices. Chinese authorities nudged Swiss agrochemicals and seeds group Syngenta to withdraw its application for a long-delayed $9 billion IPO in Shanghai on concerns about the impact a sizable new offering would have on a volatile market. The Chinese state-owned pesticide giant last Friday withdrew its bid for the initial public offering, or IPO, saying the decision was taken after careful consideration of the industry environment and the company's own development strategy. Syngenta filed to list on the main board of the Shanghai Stock Exchange last May, seeking to raise $12.4 billion Canadian, and passed a review by the listing committee a month later. Its executives said as recently as last November that Syngenta planned to list in 2024. The company, however, did not secure a green light from China's securities regulator or top leaders at the State Council, a prerequisite for blockbuster IPOs to go ahead. Prince Edward Island is modernizing its guidelines for manure management. The province says the new guidelines include recommendations for more storage capacity. They also include changes to how the minimum distance is calculated between livestock operations and non-agricultural land uses. The provincial government says the last time its manure management guidelines were updated was in 1999. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Saskag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866 and Moose Jaw Chuck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Now here's Precision Weather's Phil Spivak, who said while the temperatures will remain above average, the wind's going to make things feel much colder.
Yeah, the wind is really the biggest concern. We've seen gusts today going up as high as 70, and that will be the almost the norm. 70 is likely the high end of things, but certainly 50 to 60 much of the time through the afternoon tonight, and some of those higher gusts too. It'll start to ease up tomorrow, but ease up in a, very easing kind of way. We'll still see gusts up to 50 tomorrow, so the difference subtle and still quite breezy. By any other metric, it'd be a very breezy day tomorrow after today's stronger winds, not as much. But it's warm. 17 this afternoon, sun and clouds, some cloud, a little more prevalent tonight and tomorrow, but still a mild day, down to 4 tonight and 14 tomorrow. Not ruling out a sprinkle. Maybe even wet flurry in spots late Saturday, early Saturday evening, then clearing out through the night. We'll fall back to 1 and right back to around 14 as we turn mostly sunny on Sunday. No real change in this pattern into the new week. A mostly sunny day for Monday and Tuesday. 13 Monday, 15 Tuesday. We'll climb a little more and then settle right in those mid-teens to upper teens for the rest of the week.
The normal high for today is plus 9, normal low is minus 4. Sunrise was at 6:24 this morning. Sunset set for 7:39 tonight. Looking around the province, Hudson Bay hotspot at plus 13. Uranium City, the cold spot at minus 4. Around the province once again, Estevan at plus 11. Yorkton at plus 4. Swift Current at plus 5. Saskatoon at plus 10. Prince Albert at plus 8. Weyburn at plus 11. In my hometown of Mankota, coming in at a strong plus 13. And Moose Jaw at this hour, it's partly cloudy and plus 12. The wind's gusting to 50 kilometers an hour. And in Regina, mainly sunny, plus 12, with the wind gusting to 75 kilometers an hour. That's your farm weather. We'll be back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young for today. This portion of Saskag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. We are guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and by Pattison Liquid Systems. Experts in liquid fertilizer distribution, fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Determining optimal seeding rates for wheat under high and low moisture conditions was the focus of a study conducted at six AgriArm locations. AgriArm is a network of producer-directed applied research and demonstration organizations located across Saskatchewan. The current seeding rate recommendation for wheat is 20 to 25 plants per square foot. The goal of the study was to evaluate the ideal seeding rate for spring wheat under different environmental conditions. Six locations participated in the two-year study, which covered 2022 and 2023. There was data for Scott and Swift Current in both years, while Prince Albert, Melfort, Yorkton, and Indian Head participated in 2023. A hailstorm eliminated data collection from Swift Current last year. The locations were placed into two groups, the low moisture, which had less than 70% of the long-term average, and the high moisture, which was between 70% and normal precipitation. The 2 years at Scott, along with Melfort and Indian Head in 2023, were in the low moisture grouping, with Swift Current 2022. Prince Albert 2023, and Yorkton in 2023 in the high moisture groupings. The project was led by Alex Waldner, a research associate with the Western Applied Research Corporation at Scott. At each location, there were seven different seeding rates, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, and 40 plants per square foot. Four different yield influencing factors were measured: tiller density, head size, head density, and head length. The four were consistent at all locations, with tiller density, head size, and head length decreasing with higher seed density, and head density increasing with seeding rate regardless of environmental conditions. However, yield response varied depending on location and year. Waldner starts with the seeding recommendation under low moisture conditions.
For head density, that 52 to 57 heads per square foot occurred most commonly at seeding rates between 15 to 40 seeds per square foot. But our tiller density, between 1.5 to 3.5, most commonly occurred at seeding rates of 15 to 20 seeds per square foot. And since these factors are highly correlated to yield, we found that the highest yields most frequently occurred at seeding rates between 15 to 25 seeds per square foot, resulting in yields of 80 to 85 bushels per acre. So with this, we came up with a seeding rate recommendation of 20 seeds per square foot to optimize yields in low moisture conditions.
Moving into locations with higher moisture conditions,
we see again that head density and tiller density are highly correlated to yield, and that the highest yields occurred most frequently at head densities between 47 and 50 heads per square foot, resulting in 90 to 100 bushels per acre yields. And our highest yields occurred with tiller densities of 1 to 2.5 and 3 to 4 tillers per plant. We also found that, unlike the low moisture conditions, the head size was significantly correlated to yield, meaning that when moisture isn't limited, the number of seeds per head does have an influence on yield. And the highest yields occurred most commonly with head sizes between 27 and 30 seeds per head.
As for seeding recommendations under high moisture conditions,
the head densities that most commonly achieved high yields occurred at seeding rates between 30 to 35 seeds per square foot. And tiller densities that were highly correlated to yield occurred at seeding rates between 25 to 30 seeds per square foot. And our yield in the high moisture group tended to increase as seeding rates increased. So the highest yields occurred at seeding rates between 35 to 40 seeds per square foot. So as a result, we came up with a seeding rate recommendation of 30 seeds per square foot to optimize yields in high moisture conditions. Seeding rates higher than this might also increase yields, but we need to also factor in the economics when we're looking at seeding rates and whether or not that increase in seeding rate is covering the cost of that added seed.
Waldner recapped the results.
We learned that the seeding rates to optimize yields do vary based on moisture conditions, where the ideal seeding rate in low moisture conditions was at 20 seeds per square foot to maximize yield, and the ideal seeding rate in high moisture conditions was 30 seeds per square foot. Our recommendations mostly fit in with the current seeding rate recommendation, where on the lower end of the spectrum, we're optimizing yields in low moisture conditions, and then on the higher end, and even pushing up to 30 seeds per square foot, we're optimizing yields in adequate moisture conditions. Of course, none of us know what the growing season will hold for precipitation, but when this data starts to become really valuable is when we look at variable rate seeding applications, whereas our hilltops might correspond to these low moisture conditions, and then our low spots would correspond to high moisture conditions.
That's Alex Waldner, a research associate with the Western Applied Research Corporation at Scott.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineer-tough equipment on the market in Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service, ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Avian flu has now been found in 15 dairy herds in 6 U.S. states, the latest being Ohio. Texas has the most confirmed cases at 7 dairy farms. On Monday, one farm worker in Texas tested positive, but the only symptom was eye inflammation. The widening reach of the avian flu cases in dairy cattle is a growing concern. Renee Anthony is with the Great Plains Center for Agriculture Health at the University of Iowa and says the transmission from birds to humans is rare, but it did happen once in 2022.
That hasn't happened since. So finding out what's going on in Texas, it's gone from bird to cattle to human. And so we're a little bit more concerned than we have been in the past. There may be, you know, a limited isolated case happening in Texas, but we really need to be prepared for the next step.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has said transmission of disease between cows cannot be ruled out. Migratory birds have spread avian flu around the globe for the past couple of years, mainly infecting poultry. And 4-H Beef Club members spent part of their school break learning about preparing their steers and heifers for a show ring. Kirk Steerwalt from Leedy, Oklahoma, was teaching clinics on clipping, grooming, and showmanship at the Saskatchewan Beef Expo, which wrapped up yesterday at the Prairieland Ag Center in Saskatoon.
It isn't the big amount that you do right before the show. It's a little bit that you do consistently along the way. And those cattle that look good and those kids that are able to show them well, I mean, you know, that just doesn't happen. They've trained them and they've worked on them and they've put a lot of time in them. And, you know, obviously you notice it at the show.
He talked about the clipping and grooming process.
Clippers and blades and then, you know, parts of the animal and trying to connect the dots, if you will, kind of like, you know, when you're a kid, dot to dot to dot. That's kind of the way clipping is, because you get done with one point, takes you to the next point. Sometimes you're hooking two points together, you know, and so, you know, being able to do that. And then we also went into show day fitting, where you're, you know, actually using some of the grooming products to fit them up. And, you know, there's glue and some paint and powder or whatever, some oils to shine them up. You know, these things get treated like royalty. Seriously, you know, they got the life.
There was also a market steer and a heifer show at the Beef Expo, with the grand champion in each event winning a special belt buckle as well as a $250 post-secondary scholarship. Waylon Blacklock of the Hanley 4-H Beef Club exhibited the grand champion for steer, and Faith Collins, another member of the Hanley 4-H Beef Club, took up the honors in the heifer show, exhibiting the grand champion.
Here's the market update with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young on today's show of Saskatchewan Agriculture. I'll have your market update and your Viterra grain prices in just a moment, but first let's hear from PI Financial's Adam Piccalo.
On the ICE Futures Exchange, May canola is higher by $8.6 a ton at $6.42.20, July $6.50.70, and November $6.58.10. On the CME Group, May Chicago wheat is higher by 18.25 cents a bushel at $5.74.5, July $5.87.5, and September $6.03.75. May corn is higher by 1.25 cents at $4.36.5, July $4.48.75, and September $4.59.5. May soybeans are higher by 6.25 cents at $11.86.25, July $11.97.5, and September $11.81.75. May oats are lower by 2.5 cents at $3.33.75, and July $3.31.25. Finally, May Minneapolis wheat is higher by 8 cents a bushel at $6.54, July $6.62, and September $6.72. This is Adam Piccalo of PI Financial with the current futures quotations for Friday, April 5th. For more trading information, visit our website, prairiecommodities.com.
And a look at the latest price quotes from Viterra. Durum at $387.37. Feed barley at $227.58. Canola up $8.50 to $609.52. Chickpeas at $992.08. Flax at $629.54. Lentils at $721.50. Oats at $255.32. Yellow peas at $474.72. Feed wheat at $233.45. And one red spring wheat up $4.37 to be trading at $304.82. That has been your market update. Your livestock report is coming up next.
The Saskag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now the latest livestock quotes from Heartland Livestock in Moose Jaw.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past week, we had our regular cow and bull sale with close to 200 head showing up, and this cow market's still ultra strong. Them good cows are $1.70 to $1.85, with cow sales up into the $1.90s. The medium cows are $1.30 to $1.60, and then canter cows are $1.03 to $1.30. Them good bulls are $1.70 to $1.85, with sales up to $1.98.50. And them heiferettes are $2.10 to $2.30, with sales up to $2.45. Next week, we'll be having our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort. That's the update for the week. If you have any marketing needs or are looking to book in, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
Coming up next, the Resource Report.
It's the Saskag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Tanner Wallace Gribner.
Now the Resource Report. Highways Minister Lori Carr announced $530,000 in provincial shortline rail investments that will keep this key transportation infrastructure moving. Under the Government of Saskatchewan's Shortline Railway Improvement Program, funding will assist with track upgrades and expansion, improve crossing services and sight lines, bridge maintenance, track rehabilitations, and other projects. Saskatchewan has 13 shortline railways operating over 2,000 kilometers of track. Now, looking at the markets, the TSX is up 201 points, the Dow Jones is up 308, oil is up just 15 cents to be trading at $86.74 per barrel, and the Canadian dollar is down 26 one-hundredths of a cent to be trading at $73.58. If you missed any segment of the show, being in tune, turn on demand at the Sask Egg Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more.